on ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3.
Well, Mondays and Fridays, always a pleasure to welcome Brother Johnny today from New Orleans. Johnny, Merry Christmas on this Christmas Eve to you.
Oh, did I lose Johnny?
Uh-oh.
What the heck?
You got his New Orleans number? My man, I must have clipped him off. Coach is in Chicago. Mike, how are you? Good job. Okay, last night I was so impressed with Seattle, and I just thought
fantastic. They got a defense that gets after the quarterback. They can run the football. Russell Wilson is good at quarterback, playing as good as any quarterback in the league right now. His passing, his decision-making, his running with the football, he looked like Fran Tarkin.
Well, he was unbelievable. And, Johnny, this Seattle game last night, it looked like Fran Tarkin did. And Mike said several weeks ago, look out for Seattle. They're hot enough to run anything right now.
No, well, right now. Oh. Of course, I had been saying San Francisco was the best team in the league. And now I'm going to just say I'm not going to diss San Francisco. I think Seattle will win the Super Bowl. Well, I mean, they've got the defense and the offense going. That's what you need.
Man, they're hot, too.
Wow.
I don't think right now there's a couple teams I don't think you want to play. I don't think you want to play Seattle, and I don't think you want to play New Orleans right now.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to play New Orleans because
right.
We got
well,
I needed the Bears,
you know,
I needed the Vikings to lose, Stevie, and they both won, and that's it. But, boy, we looked good. Mike was right. He was seeing them coming.
Shoot.
And,
Johnny, if the Saints would have gotten in, I would have loved their chances just the way they're playing.
Well, sure. You got that offense clicking again. Defense is a little better, I think. You know, Mike, I've got a new theory. If you have a Drew Brees, and like an Aaron Rodgers, or if you have a Peyton Manning, you just put all your effort in your offensive line and the defense. You keep a Pierre Thomas, and the rest will fill, because he'll do it for you.
You're exactly right. You take New England. So what they do, they put you in a catch-up mode. When they score points, you got to catch up. That gets you out of what you want to do offensively. So you kind of, you know, if you are a team that wants to run the ball, you really get away from that because you're trying to score a point. And I really think when you play teams like Green Bay and New Orleans especially, I think they got the ability to score points on anybody. You know, I thought that earlier about Houston, but I'm not sure Houston's very good right now.
Houston sure didn't come through for us.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, that's an amazing. I don't know, who's going to be the rookie of the year.
Yeah.
And I think Pete Carroll might be coach of the year, coach, because I don't know how he did that up there.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm not an expert. I think the name one guy rookie of the year is, I know that's the thing you do, but there's those, any one of those three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
No
three,
kidding.
I mean, there's no question about it. Anyone. I really like Russell Wilson after what I saw. I thought his ability to be accurate on the move was as good as I've seen from anybody.
Well, I mean, he's so quick. You can't get him. You can't sack the guy. He's unbelievable.
He sure made those guys look like
that's a good
didn't he?
That's a good team.
He's got the Johnny Cacciatore quickness, speed.
Yeah.
You couldn't catch Johnny either. You couldn't catch
like me trying to tackle him.
Well, listen, Johnny spoke at the commencement on Saturday, Coach. He talked about honesty, creativity, and confidence. And the place had 2,000 people there. Johnny, I thought you were terrific.
Well, thanks, Stevie J. It was good to be at the graduation, College of Engineering, University of Illinois. It's a great college.
Wait a second, John. What are you talking about, honesty and what?
Creativity and confidence, having those three elements in
your life. Creativity and confidence.
Yeah.
Well, right. So that's what an engineer needs.
What's that now?
That's our government to a key.
I was telling them they needed to have that honesty internally despite what they see and observe, because that's key to any success. And so it was fun to, again, be with all those enthusiastic, smart kids.
Yeah, no question.
Maybe it'll rub off on us.
Well, I tell you what, you said we need good engineers, and that's exactly right. We need them. And he also mentioned that, you know, generations have been talking about, you know, the future. They're not worried about themselves. They're worried about their grandkids. And Johnny said, well, you're the grandkids. So that's where we are in all of this. It's actually going to come down to how you guys handle and deal with it. Did a terrific job. And then over the weekend, I saw the new Mike Ditka commercial on about Toyota Tundra. Mike, I thought it was tremendous. Listen to this, Johnny.
Son, Coach Gibbs, Ditka, and I want you to make the right decision.
They're in the cab of a Tundra with the guy in the front seat, Coach Ditka in the back with his aviators on, and Joe Gibbs also back there.
So be honest.
Tundra's great. I love it, but I'm getting a lot of other offers.
Yeah, but you got to focus on what's ahead of you, not behind. Of course, if you need to look behind, it's nice to have an available backup, Cam.
And not many can tow like the Tundra can, son.
Yeah, you got a boat?
No, sir.
Well, it's no matter. You can tow an RV, ATV, a couple steers.
What about toughness?
Toughness! Is his hair white? Hey, is this a house? Come on.
Tell you what, son, step on that engine.
Yeah, baby!
Let it roar!
Yeah, baby!
All right, go! Good job, son. There's some gum for you.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Ditka.
Yeah, and that's his last piece, son.
I tell you what, I want to go get my Tundra back after seeing Coach in that red Tundra. Listen, Mike, you're great at this stuff.
Well, I was trying to think, and I'll be honest, Steve. I know when Joe and I did it. I'm not even sure where I did it. I don't know where I did it. I don't know if I don't think I did it in Chicago. I think I did it somewhere else. So I don't know where I traveled to do it. But that's how good I am right now. I don't remember where I did it.
Well, I'll tell you though,
they haven't shown it very much. I know, but if it was shown, fine. I mean, it was, you know, just that quick hit thing. You know,
it was on last night during the game. I saw it last night.
Yeah, they do a lot of. I tell you, they're doing a lot of advertising on Tundra truck.
Yeah.
Evidently, it's a great vehicle. I've never driven one.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
Well, isn't that fun, though, doing those commercials with those guys? I would think that's kind of fun.
Well, it was fun to see Joe Gibson. The guy that was recruiting the kid. And they were all, the kid was a terrific actor, too. But that guy is terrific, the guy that was the recruiter.
And now, did that take very long to actually do the thing?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. We did that thing pretty quick. I wouldn't say that it took us more than 3 or 4 shoots to do
it. Wow, that's awesome.
I'd say we were out of there in 2.5 hours.
That's pretty good in that business. It really is.
That is.
My favorite Will Ferrell movie is Kicking and Screaming, no question about it. And Mike was awesome. And folks have, I tell people all the time, you got to go see Kicking and Screaming. If you like Will Ferrell, Robert Duvall, and Mike Ditka, awesome movie. Love it. Still fun. Do your grandkids see that? Do they know what's going on with that, Mike?
No, I don't think so. I really don't. you know, they're 7 years, but I don't know. I don't think
you can give it to them for Christmas.
Yeah, give it to them. It's a whole.
No. I don't get you. Listen, I'm past that now. I give their parents money. I said, you give them something.
ESPN Radio, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3. It's great to have you here on our Christmas Eve show. All right, we turn to fiscal cliff. Joe Lieberman.
If we allow that to happen, it will be the most colossal, consequential act of congressional irresponsibility.
All right, Johnny, the president went to Honolulu. Now, I doubt if George Bush could have gone to Honolulu, he'd have been criticized.
He might have gone. He'd have been criticized. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. Mike and you and I have been talking about this, and we're just watching. We couldn't do whatever we're doing in life like they're doing it. It wouldn't work out for us. But
John, you know what they're going to do, don't you? Nothing.
I don't think they will.
I'm going to go back to most of the people don't care. They don't realize what it is. They don't understand the ramifications or what can happen long term or even in the short term future. So a lot of people, they hear it, but they have no clue what the cliff is. If you said fiscal cliff to somebody that said, well, I wouldn't drive my car there. I mean, I'm serious.
No, I agree.
There's a lot of people who don't really get it, and it's a shame because we have people representing American people in both houses of Congress and the Senate and that really don't care, and that bothers me.
Well, and I think the fiscal cliff, maybe, I don't know if Joe's right, it's irresponsible, but they've been irresponsible for 3, 4, 5 years, but I'm not sure what will happen if that just comes to pass, Mike, because it makes them cut the kind of spending we've got to cut. And in every area of government, they're blowing more money than they'll have to cut. They might have to get a little more efficient, but some people will lose their positions because they won't be able to pay as many in government.
John, you know more about this. I mean, you think government has to be involved in every aspect of our lives. I mean, right now they are. I mean, the regulations, I mean, it's incredible. They want to regulate this, they want to regulate that, they want to do this, they want to do that. I'm totally amazed at some of the things they want to do. And I look and I say, why? I mean, you know, there are certain things that just run their course because of nature, and they all seem to work out pretty good.
Well, the problem
I don't have an answer, but I don't understand it.
People get lost and confused between theory and reality. And in theory, they want to help. They want to make things better. In reality, it usually makes it worse. That's how government works, because you cannot please everybody when you make any kind of decision about just about anything. And that's what they try to do. As a political entity or as a government, you want to be fair. And to be fair to everybody, no one can really get much of anything because there's too broad a spectrum. That's why government can't work. They can't give an incentive. They can't give a reward. They just muddle things up, and then they slow people who want to work down. You know that saying, either lead, follow, or get out of the way. Well, they just get in the way, and that's exactly what happens.
John, the thing that bothers me most is we have a situation in the White House where we're dividing our country into classes, and that was something that we worked all through history to avoid, to get out of. You know, we're all going to be Americans. We're all going to be working for a common cause. You have an opportunity. You're going to have opportunities in this country to get an education, to go to school, to get a job, to work. And then everybody will come back and say, well, unemployment is so high. If you want a job, you can find a job, guys. You know, it may not be the job that you want to do, but you can find a job if you want a job. I really believe that.
Well, and that's a good example, Stevie, of the theory versus reality. In theory, our president wants to make everybody have more of the wealth, is what he says, share the wealth, because there's some people that just have too much and it's not fair. So he's going to use government to try to make things more fair. Well, he doesn't understand. The reality is that it's the people who achieve, they give more people more opportunity. If you stop the people from achieving, then it leaves it to the government is the only one that can hand out opportunities. And that becomes political.
Yeah.
And then the wrong people get the opportunity, so nobody wins.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
That's
well put, very well.
It's a lofty goal, Mike, but you can't do it. Yeah. We've got the best thing we can have. You can regulate it a little bit, but I think if we'd have had less mergers, they just went nuts with these mergers, and everybody got too big by buying up other companies. That was a simple thing, and we had antitrust, and in the mid-'80s, we started letting everybody buy each other.
Yeah.
There's some role for government. But to take over the businesses and run into that kind of more of a socialist model clearly hasn't worked. And it's theory versus reality. So we got to get more real, Steve.
7:49, Mike Ditka, Brother John, in our Christmas Eve service in Alabama. They're talking about putting a police officer with a gun at different schools.
It's a little thin right now, but the council and the mayor have agreed to hire a full-time officer for it.
I'm just so thankful that somebody will be here to stop that person, because the first thing I thought of was how rural we are here, and that was a little rural town too that never thought anything like that would happen to them.
Yeah, the NRA says we should have armed police officers in every school in America. That might be fine, but that's not necessarily going to stop something, because the guy can be in one part of the building. These high schools are big. So there's no guarantees, Johnny. You just can't give anybody a guarantee.
Well, I know it's a shame, and you try to think of things to do. And I go back to Mike, I was reading about finding out sitting in front of that computer and playing games can affect your mind. And you talk about mental illness, and you talk about this kind of thing. I think we've got to look at some of these games if we want to get serious. The guns, Mike, what if you're the guard? I mean, if someone's going to want to do that with an automatic weapon, they're just going to shoot you first when you're not looking.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, they're not thinking it's true, because there could have been a guard there as well as not been there, and he would have been taken out by this kid.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's an individual, and we understand, and I understand what the lady said, but, you know, there's millions of these rural towns. And so in America, that's what America is. And there's no, of course, we have tremendous concern for our children and our teachers, because they're essential. And, I mean, I felt so bad when I watched those pictures of those kids. Like, their life is snuffed out. They'll never get to experience any of the things we did, John, growing up. You know, the black eye, the bloody nose, you know, striking out, I mean, making a basket. I mean, all those things.
I'll tell you, you're right. And I hope, and my Christmas wish, Steve, is that, you know, there aren't very many people like that out there. I'm hoping there aren't any more
like that
out there.
Yeah, we all struggle with this. And we look over, and there's a big celebration in Bethlehem Manger Square today and tomorrow. And, of course, Israel is in such turmoil. The whole Middle East is. Story this morning talks about how, you know, Christianity is becoming extinct in the Middle East because of persecution, and that governments need to stand up and say, hey, we don't persecute you here in America. Maybe you should lay off over there. But we've struggled with that for many, many years, and it seems to be getting worse.
Well, I'm going to give you one Christmas thing. I got an email from a good friend, and it's about a dog, a stray dog. It was looking for somewhere to stay, so it didn't have anywhere to stay, so it ended up crawling into a manger, and it slept next to the Christ Jesus whatever statue, doll, whatever it was, and they took a picture of it, and it was pretty interesting because they said it's something more people ought to do is crawl into the lap of Jesus and go to sleep. And it's ironically, the dog was a shepherd.
Oh,
that's great, I'll tell you.
Pretty touching.
And you're right, Mike. If we just time out and just think, maybe all of us think a little bit about what Christmas means, then maybe we'll feel a whole lot better, and we'll be a lot better.
Well,
off.
But
John, that's not politically correct.
It isn't. And that's my, and Mike, you talk about all the time. I think we need a revival in this country, and you can say religious or otherwise, but how about a revival of common sense? A revival of values, a revival of moral foundations, those are the things that are crumbling.
Absolutely. The common sense. Common sense. Think before you act. Think before you talk. And things like that. And sometimes we're all guilty of it.
But if you talk
before you act.
But if you go back to the theory, Steve, it's, we don't want to offend anyone who might not believe, so don't say it.
Well, what if
we're right about it, and what if those people need to hear this?
Yeah.
Then we're making it worse by stopping people from showing what they believe or spreading what they believe. And I understand it's, you'll dominate and you'll become a theocracy and blah, blah, but that's not going to happen here either. Just stay open. If you want to be open, stay open.
Just think if we would have had that mentality when Hitler came to power. Just think if we would have had that mentality in America when Hitler came to power, the way we have now. Do you think we would have done it much better?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question.
I think that we kind of
balked at it anyway. But at this point, I don't know what we'd have done, Stevie.
Well, it's just you can't say anything. You said, Johnny, one time that, you know, we got to a point in this country where we can't even discuss it because of we're too afraid.
So yeah. I think we just need to get over that.
Yeah.
And in any case, most of us still enjoy a great Christmas season, and I think there is a feeling of that spirit that God has given us, and I think it's there for anybody who wants it.
Well, at the commencement, Mike, John said to the graduates, in that setting, he said, I believe we were all created in God's image, and we're happiest when we're creating things as people. And then he also said, God bless at the end, and I think in that kind of a setting these days, a lot of guys wouldn't say, because I'll offend somebody. I'm glad you did that, Johnny.
And go back once in a while and say thank you to the creator and what it is. I don't care what you believe, but if you think it's all a natural thing, I don't think you're right, because I think there's a reason to say thank you and to believe in God and understand that good is better than evil, period.
Well, it is true, Steve. We're happy when we're creating a radio show or a good football team or a lift machine. That's kind of happy.
Well, guys, I'm thankful to our creator. I'm thankful to the good Lord. I'm thankful for you guys, because I think people love hearing both of you Mondays and Fridays, and we're going to wish you a Merry Christmas, and I'll call you on Friday.
All right.
Well, God bless you guys. Listen, Merry Christmas to you, and give your kids a hug.
God bless you. Thanks. God bless you. Thanks, Johnny.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Brother Johnny. Mike Ditka, ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3.